When you love riding a motorcycle, you want to ride it everywhere, even to a physical.
Let's check your weight. Hop on the scale. Look at that. You're down a few pounds.
Oh, yeah. Must be the new carbon fiber wheels.
And when you love saving money, you want to save even more. That's why GEICO makes it easy to bundle your motorcycle and car insurance.
I'm going to prescribe 91 octane for your engine knock, and we'll want to see you again in 3,000 miles.
Kickstart your savings with GEICO Motorcycle. Bundle and save on the things you love.
Bob and Tom comedy bits? Check. Willie Griswold? Check. Jess Hooker? Check. Jessica Alsman? Check. It's the Bits and Pieces Podcast.
Hey, welcome to Bits and Pieces, the podcast that revisits our favorite Bob and Tom Show comedy bits. It's Jason, Jess, Jessica, and Willie. Today we are talking movies, y'all. The Oscar nominations are out. The theaters are open. Let's do this. Y'all seen anything good lately?
The Eternals was the last one I think I saw.
Yep, I saw that in theaters on the road.
Spider-Man. Spider-Man was after that. Yep. So that, and that's like the third biggest movie of all time.
Yeah, man. It was fun.
Yeah,
it was
good. Loved it.
Yesterday, I watched Frozen 3.5 times because my nieces were over. So. Aww. If that counts, that's the most recent movie I've watched.
Frozen, the first Frozen?
First Frozen.
I've never seen the second one.
Second one's very good.
One of them was saying, I want to watch the one where somebody's dead. And I was like, I guess I missed that. Apparently in the second one, somebody dies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, in most Disney movies, people don't. Well, they're like in Up, there's like the animated miscarriage. That's pretty brutal. There are some pretty tragic deaths.
They miscarry in Up?
Yeah, that's like the whole first thing.
She just dies. She's old and she dies.
No, remember they're pregnant and they're like looking at the heartbeat and then they go in. They're like, sorry, it's not going to happen.
It's all subtle. Yeah, it's
brutal. Yeah. The movie starts.
It out of my brain.
I know. It's really, really tough. They really push it down. Honestly, we probably shouldn't have started with this. Maybe we should redo this, but I say we just charge forward.
Now, Jesse, you don't go to movies that much, right? You hate going to the movie.
I don't even hate the movie theater. I hate the time. Like, if I invest time into something, I know I have to know there's a return. It is too risky to go, here's 2.5 hours of my day. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pay you to cut time out of my day when I could be doing something productive. Unless I get a guarantee, like the three of you could go, Jess, this is a movie you would love. And I would trust you and I would spend my money and I would go see it. Mm-hmm. But without that stamp of approval from someone who knows me, I'm not going to the movies.
But you'll watch a movie on Netflix at home?
Occasionally. I'm really big on docs right now.
Okay.
Like there's a Guggenheim one. The new Julia documentary is really good.
Julia Child?
Child, yeah.
Got it, cool.
Yeah, and so I'm kind of into those right now because I feel like I'm going to learn something.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely.
I'll get something, you know. Absolutely.
Do you ever do that? Are you ever like at like a, I almost said cocktail party. I've never been to a cocktail party. Are you ever like hanging out with people, like having a conversation and you want to be like, you know, I was reading this book and then in the back of your head that was like, that was a documentary.
That was 100% a TikTok.
It was just like, it was a clip of a documentary from Twitter out of context. Yeah, dude.
All the time.
I'll do that. I'll like get like stoned or whatever, chill at home and watch documentaries.
Yeah.
And like an hour and then I'm just like, I'm being productive right now. Yeah. I'm learning, dude.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I need to start getting high. Like, cause it'll give me, like, I'll give myself more grace.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's the benefit.
There you go.
It can go the other way though.
Oh, okay.
You can go the paranoid route very easily, especially if you don't smoke often, and that is not fun.
Oh yeah.
That's not you're stoned and you're trying to chill and you're like, I got to be productive, and then you start like organizing your closet and then you like take all the clothes and you put them on your bed and you're like, I am too tired to do step 2 of this.
Right.
And
I get
then
that.
You like sleep on your clothes and you wake up, you're like, what the hell was I thinking?
Yeah, there was a guy that used to work here who would partake regularly, and he claimed he was the most productive when he was high.
That's
all the time.
Some stoners, people might be,
but stoners love saying, oh, I only can write when I'm high.
If I tell you who it is, you'll go, yeah, that makes sense.
Oh really?
Yeah.
A guy I know?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't want to
his office used to be at the very end. His office used to be where Josh's office is.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I can figure that out. Yeah. I can do that math pretty easy in my head. Gonna play it cool, not leave any hints on the table.
Right.
Now, I couldn't even handle Vicodin without feeling weird and crazy. Yeah. My very first knee surgery, I came out of surgery. I was regretful. I was selfish for having a surgery. It was like the lowest part of my life.
That's wild.
I couldn't handle it.
Just, you think it's the effects of like all of it? It could be sedation, everything.
Yeah, and I say Vicodin because I knew I was. That's the only thing I actually knew I was taking. Gotcha. But they obviously gave me stuff prior.
Yeah,
it's also so funny that like because of pharmaceuticals, like Vicodin is a way more intense drug than pot.
Yeah,
it's so funny. Yeah, like so smoking true. Pot, I can't even handle hard pills.
Right.
Like that's a wild angle to have with that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's
I can't
a great
even handle medical morphine. Okay, let's go into the things.
Well, Osmond, you're probably the biggest movie goer here, I would say, right?
The last movie was Spider-Man: No Way Home.
How was it?
It was really good.
I loved it.
Yeah.
It's
I loved
so
it.
Fun. Yeah. You watched them all growing up, right?
Yeah. And then, but the last movie I just watched was on Monday night, and it was Star Trek Generations, because I'm in a Star Trek The Next Generation deep dive.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Those are the ones.
That's right.
It's got like Harold or Kumar in it.
No, that would be JJ Star Trek. And as my dad would say, ugh, JJ Star Trek is just so, that's not Roddenberry Star Trek. Which, if anyone watches Star Trek and listening, this makes sense.
They know what they're
doing. J.J. Abrams, the movie.
Yes.
Oh,
my dad
okay.
will literally be like, that's not my Star Trek. And I'm like, calm down, Dad. What is this, the Bobcat bit? Where that, it's like, fake.
That is so not my Star Trek.
And it's literally how my dad
that says a lot in those few words, yes.
Oh, it's so fun. But no, I'm on the old Star Trek kick right now. So getting ready for the new Picard season.
See, yeah. I never get into any of that. I mean, I loved Khan, which was what, back in the 80s?
Wrath of Khan.
Wrath of Khan, yeah. That's probably where I finished my Star Trek movie watching. Yeah.
Everything with Patrick Stewart is fantastic.
And he seems
can do
great.
No wrong.
He seems
he is
great,
wonderful. But... And, you know, we saw him in the new Doctor Strange 2 trailer.
Is he in what? Is he in makeup or something? I didn't recognize him.
You didn't see
just
him from the front because he's a part of, I believe, in the Marvel Universe. Well, the comics, the Illuminati, where it's like a lot of the big shots in different groups.
Yeah.
So it's like Iron Man, Professor X. So it's a variant because... And depending on how they do this, opening up all the Fox characters, your Deadpool, all the mutants.
Mm-hmm.
It's very exciting.
It's going to get wild.
This is wild. So I have
Tom will hate it even more.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have one niece that's like Frozen, all the girly, Disney, all that stuff. My other niece, they're 6 months apart in age, so they're 4 years old right now. And the other one will school you about Marvel like you have never.
Oh, yeah.
We have a show and tell video that a little boy got up in preschool class, and he was like, this is my Spider-Man. And my niece is in the background. She was like, that's not Spider-Man. He was like, yes, it is. And she was like, no, it's not. It's like somebody else. Oh, Miles Morales. That's not even Spider-Man. That's Miles Morales. They're four. They're fighting. Like, this. That's not Spider-Man. It's a funny thing.
That's wild.
Heard.
But and Miles is Spider-Man.
Well, yeah. But then the nurse is like, or the teacher's like, Savannah, calm down. And then under her breath, she's like, that's not Superman.
That rules. All right, well, I say we get into the meat and potatoes of this. It's a classic bit about how prehistoric films were always a hit.
This summer, audiences were terrified by a giant prehistoric shark in The Meg. Prepare to be traumatized again with the sequel from Bob and Tom Pictures.
We have the discovery of a lifetime.
It's another huge prehistoric discovery.
What you discovered is bigger than we ever thought possible.
The most massive reproductive organ in history.
The largest that ever existed.
Massive prehistoric machine.
Oh my God.
But that was only the start.
There is something down here.
Oh my God.
What lurked underneath was deadly.
It's Megalodon.
Wait, what?
It's Megalodon.
He's kidding, right?
No, he's not kidding. It's the Smeg. The Smeg. Directed by Dick Vermundo.
The Smeg. Rated PG-13.
There we go. That's funny. That's a little writer's chef's kiss. Dick Vermundo there. Not bad. I like it when they just get the joke out and they're like, okay, what else can we do? We got a couple tags we can put in there. Is The Meg, that had Mark Wahlberg in it?
Blake Lively? Am I thinking of the right thing?
I have no idea. It's a movie about a big shark, right?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't see it, but I thought it was pretty funny, the bit.
Yeah, the bit's real funny.
And that's one of those I bet we played once.
Sure,
mm-hmm.
Sure.
Because I do not remember it when I was looking stuff up. I'm like, no. I don't remember this one at all. And it wasn't that long ago because Josh is laughing on it. And I think I even heard Grace laughing in there.
Yeah.
Oh, really? This was from 2018, the movie. All and right. Not at all Blake Lively. I'm sorry. So Jason Statham.
Oh, there you go.
Really?
Ruby That's Rose, wild. Rainn Wilson.
Seems too campy for him.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, I like how like this, like no one really remembers the movie, The Meg. I mean, maybe folks love it. I'm not really sure. It didn't really make an impression on me. But it's funny how when you're doing parody stuff like this, you kind of just throw stuff at the wall. And if The Meg were to become like a big summer blockbuster, maybe this bit would have been played more kind of thing.
Right.
It's funny how you don't know when you're parodying things, or you're satirizing things. You don't know what's going to work because you don't know what people are going to care about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
I agree.
Or if Tom's into it.
Yeah, there's that.
That's the big part. Yeah.
He likes hearing the what Dick from Under. I can't.
Yeah,
yeah, Dick from Under. I mean,
no, that's.
And all I have to do is I'll like tell my dad, be like, "Hey, we did this bit, and the guy's director's name was Dick from Under." And then suddenly on Tuesday, Dick Hitswater is going to be calling in, and he's going to be sitting in for Dick from Under.
Right. I'm surprised he hasn't yet. Yeah.
And that's how we get it. That's how we get right back to it. We use that bit twice.
Can you remember where you first heard the term schmegma?
Oh, it had to be here.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because I was not familiar with it till I worked here.
Yeah,
I was not. It's a term utilized by the uncircumcised. Correct? Is that what it's a part of?
I think
Isn't
technically,
it dick cheese, basically.
Yeah. I think medically, you do call it dick cheese, Alsman.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that it's not really an issue I've had a lot in my life.
That's good.
I think it's more for the caped crusader that kind of struggles with it.
That's what I thought. I thought you had to be uncut for sure.
Yeah, I think that was best.
Freshman year of college at Anderson University, softball team. That's right. Mm. That's where we would use it a lot. We would call people schmegma.
So funny.
Like, I don't know why.
Freshman year
happened.
Of college for me is when I first heard about it. Yes.
I don't remember.
Huh.
I remember the kid in our high school that was uncut.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Never saw it. Heard about it.
How does that get around? I mean,
locker room.
Yeah, okay. It gets
around. Oh, it's the locker room.
Yeah.
I had my buddy Martin.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that happening?
My buddy Martin is a British guy, and I didn't know most, like, circumcision is like an American thing. British people aren't circumcised. None of the Beatles are circumcised. Think about that for a little.
What?
Yeah. British people, it's an American thing. British people do not do it.
I thought it was a Jewish thing.
It's a Jewish thing. We picked it up after them.
That's so wild.
Yeah. There's like no like there's like the bris, I believe, is like the religious ceremony affiliated with it.
Yeah.
In America, it's just a cultural thing that we do. It's not done in a lot of other places.
Huh.
My buddy Martin, we're at camp and we're going to the bathroom. We're at the urinals and I'm not looking, but he just turns to me and he goes, "I'm uncircumcised. Looks like a little pink elephant trunk, don't it?" And I'd never talked to this guy in my life. We're in different cabins during staff training, and then I like go to my buddy. I'm like, "This is weirdo Martin. I'm never going to talk to this guy again." And now he's like one of my best friends.
Yeah.
Did he just put it out there just in case you saw it? And he's like, "Look, I'm going to acknowledge it first, can't."
He's a really weird guy. He like went to British boarding school, and like now he like works for the British government, and he has to be really buttoned up over there.
No kidding.
So when he comes to America, he just turns into a drunk child.
Oh.
But it's like fun because me and my buddy Colin will like do a trip to Nashville or whatever, and me and Colin get a couple club shows. And then we just hang out with Martin.
Cool.
Goofing around in the back. Yeah, he's not a good person.
Okay.
But he's like very fun to hang out with, if that makes sense.
Oh, because he has to kill people for his job, right?
No, it's not that. I really wanted it to be that. It's like a boring desk job. But that's what he would want me to think.
Right, there you go.
Okay, well.
It's like 0058. Sorry.
So has anyone ever seen one?
Oh, like, sure. Martin's.
Other than Martin.
Oh, no, I've never seen one in the wild. I've seen one on the internet.
Okay.
Yeah, never seen one.
But never free range.
Okay. I hate that I'm the only person in here that's seen one.
I haven't either,
In the wild, you guys got to see more I don't know what to tell you. Can we say that? Actually, I'm pretty sure that Dick Hiswater's filling in for Seymour Cox on Tuesday.
So. That's two. You got two.
That's great. Well, now this is just not a transition at all. Here's a heartwarming sports story.
ESPN Films presents the sports story of the decade.
Oh, hey, Doc, how you doing?
Hi there.
Hi.
How you feeling?
Oh, I feel great. I just a little nervous, a little apprehensive about
Mr.
things.
Mr. Kipkin.
No, it's Ripken, Doc.
Ripken.
Yeah, it's Ripken.
It's like a K. Cal Ripken?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No.
You know, now that I see you.
See me play baseball.
How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty excited.
How you feeling?
I feel great. I am really psyched up for this this record. You know, I really feel like I'm going to make it, and just kind of nervous about it. That's why I set up the appointment. I just wanted to get checked out before I went in for the big game. How things looking? Pretty thorough exam.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Well, we've got a lot to go through here. Actually, let me just give you the abbreviated version. I've got some good news, and I've got some bad news.
Jeez. I guess I can take it. Give me the bad news. What's going on?
Mr. Ripken, the bad news is that you have a fatal disease.
What?
You're not going to make it to that game.
Fatal disease?
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I believe it. What could the good news be?
Well, actually, all the symptoms are totally unique. We've never seen anything like it. So we're going to name the disease after you.
Yeah. Cal Ripken Jr. disease. You'll be famous. Hey, isn't that great? Come on, Sporto.
Great. No, it's
not. Come on, lighten up. Listen, the guys and I upstairs all agreed we were out of names for diseases. We figured, hey, why don't we do it just like Lou and name it after the guy with the disease?
Oh, God.
Come on. Think of it. You'll be in every medical book listed right next to Ricketts.
The Cal Ripken story. The courageous tale of the player. The streak. The man. The disease.
Today, I consider myself the unluckiest man on the face of the earth. This is bull. I can't believe it. I'm gonna die. I was that close to setting the record. Now you're talking to a dead man.
The Cal Ripken story.
Why me? Why me?
He was on top of the world until the poor son of a bitch played himself to death. The Cal Ripken story. Starring Robbie Benson as Cal. Billy Dee Williams as Frank Robinson. Mickey Rooney as Earl Weaver. And Eddie Murphy as Eddie Murray.
Man said he gonna die.
Oh, you guys.
The Cal Ripken story. Coming this fall from ESPN. Da da da. Da da da.
Was there ever a Lou Gehrig movie that's referencing? It references Ted Williams as well.
Well, I think it was in 95, and I remember this because I was an intern in the fall of, so this happened in the summer of 95, and he was passing Lou Gehrig's record of consecutive games, which I just looked up was like 2,100 games in a row, which is unheard of, and I think he actually went to 25 or 2,600. It'll never be broken.
Sure.
These guys take days off and all that. So, it was totally a Lou Gehrig thing, but just the... all the backfill to make it his thing.
It was
and honestly, that was Marty being the doctor, our old boss Marty, although he's back. No, that was a top three performance of Marty being the doctor. We're going to name it after you. I think that all the time.
And that's one of my favorite things, when everybody uses their regular voice. That was 100% Dean being Dean.
Yep.
And I just, that's what made me laugh the hardest at the beginning of that.
Yeah.
Well, it's really subtle. It's really casual. It's like you got a little when you're hitting those.
Yeah.
Usually when you hear a script, you don't hear involved in it.
Yeah, it sounds like Dean and Marty talking. Like, that's all it is. Yeah.
One thing that I want to point out, and I hate that I'm doing this. So the initial bit that I imagine was maybe just like riffed, like the doctor being like, is it Cal Kipkin? Looks like a K.
Yeah.
He defies that later on when he goes, me and all the guys talked about it upstairs. We're going to call it Cal Ripken's disease.
Right, right.
So he's already talked about the name. It's already been established. So the whole being shocked thing didn't really play, but.
But maybe he was, maybe that was the point. It was deeper than that.
To be even more casual.
To be even more casual. Oh, yeah, we got to make sure we don't really.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's not me being like, this bit is incorrect. I'm not calling it out. The comedy doesn't line up. No, I was just trying to say it's just like it's a silly thing.
Oh no, I agree.
That's funny.
And then Lou Gehrig's disease. This isn't funny. That's
ALS.
Now folks call that ALS now, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I was just curious about that.
Yeah.
But I wonder if were the Gehrig family responsible for that shift? Was the medical community? Did it just kind of happen?
Great question.
I don't know.
I would think yes. Please, could we call it something else? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, because I remember hearing a lot about it during the ice bucket challenge. You guys
it's
remember that?
Very yeah. awful. Yeah. It's awful.
It's a horrible disease.
No,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not trying to be like silly funny about it.
But that was okay. The thing.
The
yeah.
naming. The naming is just is interesting. Is all I'm trying.
Oh,
to
tell
say.
Me about it. Every time I spell my name, I'm like ALS. M-A-N. And they're like, you know, my, I was like, I'm sorry. I feel guilty for having a name with it. And then I go to a gym where they actually display your name up.
Why?
It's Orange Theory. I don't know. To see your heart rate.
Oh, yeah.
But it'll be like your first name and then your first three letters. Of your last. And it'll be like, Jessica, ALS. And I'm like, dear God, I just feel like it's always looming.
I never
I made
that.
This about me.
No, that's funny.
I have what? GRI. That's the test you have to take to go to grad school. That's
GRI?
Not very interesting.
Ooh,
Hall of Famer right here.
What you got?
Oh, HOF.
Yeah, very cool.
Oh, nice. I was literally like, there's the Hoff.
Yeah.
Woo. And then we have who.
I was, you know what, I was like actually that. Getting ready to say Pro.
Because
that's how it was before. Yeah.
Prosser.
Prosser was my maiden name. So it was always PRO.
So back to your point, Willie, it was just Dean and Marty just kind of talking, doing their voices, like just like. So do you think that would how, if it went off the deep end for Dean, that's where Dean would go? Was that pretty genuine Dean?
I don't know. So I'm
talking to a dead man.
I'm curious if it was actually scripted. I'm curious if they just riffed that. I wonder if Marty in the moment goes, it'd be kind of funny. Cal Kipkin. I wonder if that was a mistake, if he just said that. Yeah. There's a lot of things that I'm curious about, but it's a really funny, really well done bit.
It's a classic.
And like a
really.
Top 10 Dean Metcalf performance.
Fantastic. And any time that Chick is laughing that laugh, like I'm in.
Yep.
I'm in.
Like,
oh my gosh.
Explosion.
When he busts it.
Yeah.
Yes. So funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and then they only do it a couple times, but like at the end after he's really sad while he's giving the speech, Ripken, Dean, whoever. They put a couple bleeps in there.
Yeah.
I can't believe this. And I love that. And then how weird, that Eddie Murphy joke is so weird. And it's funny, I was going through my computer, I was looking at old sketches yesterday, and I have a sketch that I wrote where I have a weird line kind of like that, where it's just some idiot talking about the movie Shrek, and the guy just goes, there's a donkey that sounds just like Eddie Murphy.
I was just thinking about that joke. That's fantastic.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy is Eddie Murray. All right, well, let's go to this next one. Do you guys remember all of those, quote, on a plane movies?
Audiences everywhere agree that there's nothing more terrifying this summer than snakes on a plane. Samuel L. Jackson and several slithery co-stars have made Snakes on a Plane a number one box office thriller. But now, Bob and Tom Pictures brings you a motion picture that's bound to give you nightmares with the most horrifying creature ever to board a transcontinental flight.
Oh my God! Is that...
It's Elephants on a Plane.
How did that thing get on board?
Oh, excuse me. I think that's my seat over there. Yeah, 17B. Here we go. Uh-oh. Looks like I'm in the middle. Excuse me. Pardon me.
Sure, snakes on a plane would be bad, but no one wants to see an elephant on their flight.
No.
Like, get this seatbelt buckle.
Crushing me.
Oh, hey, sorry, fella. I thought you was an armrest. Oh, are those peanuts? I love peanuts. Are you going to eat those?
No, you can have them.
Oh, boy, thanks.
Elephants on a Plane, only from Bob and Tom Pictures.
Oh, I was waiting for like a only from Bob and Tom Pictures and watch out for next summer. Like I was waiting for like a little tag joke at the end there.
We did at least three dot 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 on a plane jokes.
Are those the next bits?
No, they're not.
They're not.
We played one before. I can't remember exactly what it was, but when I was researching yesterday.
Well, the one thing
there's another one out.
The one thing I want to say is the in the audio of that, in the background, there is what is clearly, like, I don't know anything about planes, but like a small, like a single prop plane.
Yeah, that's right.
Like it's not like that big plane noise. And then in the background, it's like, oh no! Ah! Yes. Like people are dying in the back, but then it's just this kind of casual conversation. Yeah. I don't know. It makes
if you
me
dig
laugh
into
much.
The visual, it's very ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
Isn't there a movie called like Dumbo Drop or something where they had like pick up an elephant and move it?
A whole movie about that?
I know, right?
Yeah. It actually sounds like something that would have been, yeah. Hmm.
We did the news story about the helicopters that were picking up rhinos. Mm. Remember that, to transport them? And they had to like sedate them and then cover their eyes.
That's
and the easiest
so
way
sad.
To do it was legs
Aww.
Up.
They do that with like sharks too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a Disney movie. Operation Dumbo Drop.
Oh, okay, sure. Operation Dumbo. There you go.
There was a feature film. Was it animated or?
It was real. And you know who starred in it?
Yes. Can I guess?
I'm going to guess too. You go first.
It's not Nick Offerman, but it's a guy like Nick Offerman.
What year did it come out?
1994.
Five. Jonathan Ooh. Taylor Thomas.
No.
Totally off. 1995. Who's the 95?
I'll give you a hint. He's getting too old for this.
Oh, is it Danny Glover?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay,
wow.
Cool.
Wow.
And let's stick with baseball. That. A baseball tie-in. Ray Liotta.
Okay.
Wow.
And then others.
And Glover was pretty big in
Oh, Dennis Leary.
Gosh, I would say, yeah.
Can I ask
a
question?
I guess I should start Dennis Leary. Yeah.
What's Ray Liotta's connection to baseball?
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams. Okay, cool. I didn't.
He's the one that asks.
In Goodfellas, he beats somebody with a baseball.
Yeah, no. Yeah. For a second, I was just like, he probably played minor league ball when he was a kid. That's where he started smoking and dipping. Now he's got to take Chantix.
I don't think. But when he pulls up at her house when they're dating, and that guy across the street was hitting on him, he opens the trunk and pulls out a baseball bat. And walks across the street and just smashes her neighbor.
Yep.
I thought about getting a bat to keep around the house, just to in case anything happens.
You don't have a bat in your house?
I got a fungo bat.
No, you need a wooden bat.
No, it's a wooden fungo bat, but it's about this big.
I have a smaller bat right under the bed where I can just...
Yeah. It's aluminum. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have one.
That's just too...
It's perfect. Lisa Fernandez.
But, Chris, you could...
They don't sound like that. You say you hit a ball. Yeah.
I like the click, though. That was good.
That was very good.
I'm either going to get a wooden bat or a semi-automatic assault rifle. I just can't pick which one yet. No laughs at all. Okay, perfect. Keep it awkward.
Because I know you would never have a gun.
Oh, gosh. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Maybe a Nerf gun. They just throw him off. Like, what is he doing? Is he hitting us with a Nerf? What is this? Macaulay Culkin?
I have a Nerf gun.
So I have a gun, but it has rubber bullets.
Really?
Like, yeah, just like...
Enough to be annoying and useful.
Yeah,
right?
Enough to like slow somebody down, right? I not to give too much away, but I live alone and in the country. Like that's sometimes the alarm
real
system.
Real quick, what's
it?
That address where you live? Nearest main intersection. What time do you leave the house? Usually go to bed.
She's never at the movies.
Yeah.
So
yes.
No, but the best, like, for someone who doesn't have a gun, like myself, the next best thing is a neighbor with a lot of guns.
Yes, yes.
And I know I have the code. I can't, like, necessarily, I don't have the code to his safe, but I can get in his house.
I would watch that movie. Jason Hoff says.
Yeah, starring.
Like, he's protecting the neighborhood. He's the only one left, and he runs across the street.
My first call is not.
I gotta go get something to defend myself.
My first call is not 911 if there's something really bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's to my neighbor.
Yeah.
I promise you.
I got a guy like that I can call.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah, at this point, I couldn't have a gun in my house unless I had a real man move in the guest room. He could kind of, take care of business.
Relax, Willie.
He could probably, he probably has a stud finder just on, so if we have to hang something, he can do it. That could be great. I really got to get a friend. None of my friends are morons. None of them know what they're doing.
What's going to go down? You're like, in case something goes down, like
you
what, Red Dawn?
You don't know.
I'm just saying. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And now that we're having this conversation, everybody knows that we're an easy target.
Yeah, I know, right?
No, it's nothing.
We are pissing people off.
Well, we're a target, like X marks the spot. This is a terrible transition, but I'm doing it anyways. This movie would have been rated X for sure.
Moviegoers have made Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, the box office hit of the season. Now, move over, Austin Powers. Bob and Tom Pictures presents The New Spy in Town.
Oh, so you're a spy, huh? Just like James Bond 007? Oh my God, jeez, it's more like 0012.
and a half.
Bob Gavoyan is Aston Kramer's The Spy Who Gagged Me. When we say this movie is going to be big, we mean big.
So, Mr. Kramers, we finally meet. I'm Minnie.
Mm-hmm.
Minnie Beaver.
It's a pleasure to make your acquaintance, Minnie.
You know, I heard you were dead, captured by enemy agents in the Middle East. They said you were hung.
What do you think?
Wow, they were right.
Bob Gavoyan is Aston Kramer's The Spy Who Gagged Me from Bob and Tom Pictures. You've never seen a secret agent this cocky.
This is a great restaurant, Aston. I've noticed you've got quite a hearty appetite tonight. You keep eating like that and you're going to get fat. Whoa, you may not be fat, but you're definitely big boned.
If you see only one movie this summer, see Aston Kramer's The Spy Who Gagged Me from Bob and Tom Pictures. Mention the Bob and Tom Show and get a free foot and a half long hot dog at a matinee showing of Aston Kramer's The Spy Who Gagged Me.
Aston Kramer's The Spy Who Gagged Me. Guys, don't work too hard.
No,
okay?
No.
Sometimes you take the first idea, you don't do the rewrite, you run with it.
Don't you guys ever feel like we have, like we talk about stuff? We were going to do this podcast 30 minutes early.
Yeah.
And then we started at when we were originally supposed to start because we hadn't seen each other in a while. We were catching
we had to
up
goof for a little while.
But we were talking about accents and people who like that. And that The Spy Who Gagged Me reminds me when I was talking about that woman we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And I said, she sounds like she's choking on something.
Yes.
Like, this whole bit, that's all I kept thinking is that's what she sounds
like. Oh.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
You figured out what the something is.
What the something is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a spy. She's choking on a spy.
Just, but I, you know what's funny in that bit when Bob Austin, you know, when he introduces himself, I kind of,
Aston,
excuse me, I kind of expected to hear, bump,
right.
I'm Aston Kramer.
Oh, missed opportunity.
Yeah, no, it's just, I'm just so conditioned to that. And I think that started in a later era of Bob and Tom.
No, it started way earlier.
Oh, you think so?
Spy Who Gagged Me was about 99, I want to say.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. But I think it would have conflicted with the music and tone of this one.
Is The Spy Who Shagged Me, is that the first Austin Powers movie?
I think it's the second.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the second. Yeah, it was just Austin Powers, the first
International
one.
International Man of Mystery was the first one. Yep.
Yeah. Man, those movies are so good.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, how old were you? They must have been right up your alley.
Oh, he was probably
I was a
too
kid.
Young even.
No, I was a kid, but we got to go.
Yeah.
It was like Sam was old enough, and with comedy was always fine.
Right,
you were like
that's
six.
How my dad was.
Yeah.
You were like six.
Now
yeah.
I'm like laughing in my head because I remember watching that movie in theaters with my dad and then just giggling because like in my head he was watching Austin Powers and the only thing he could focus on was pulling out his little notepad to write down Aston Kramer's.
right funny. Exactly.
He probably left to go get us popcorn for like a refill or whatever and was like taking notes.
Yep.
Like, okay,
that's great.
Minnie Beaver. Is that the name they
used? Yes.
Dude, half the fun of a parody bit with is just the names.
Oh my gosh, you had a killer one the other day. What were we talking about and you said Beaver instead of
Scarlet Fever.
Yeah,
my dad wanted a porn star named Scarlet Fever and I said her name would be Scarlet Beaver.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just right there.
Yeah, it was too easy.
What are you going to do? I mean, again, don't work too hard. Sometimes you just go for what's in front of you. You have fun.
I always wonder about these bits, listening to it. Okay, like you said, Willie, your dad probably wrote it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and Dean's like, all right, well, I'll get so-and-so to, and
for sure.
Tom's like, no, I'll narrate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wanted to do this one.
Mm-hmm. I like him as a narrator because he still does his voice. It doesn't, Chick really, Chick has the perfect, it's like the parody of that voice and it sounds like that actual voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I like when my dad does it. I don't like prefer it, but I just enjoy it when he does it because it's very interesting to kind of stay in your own lane and it's mapping it over. I expressed that so poorly. I couldn't have said that worse. I'm so sorry.
It's because you love hearing him say it because he was so happy to be the one to say it too. So you probably feel that in his vibe, very natural.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I just like the more like subtle approach sometimes. Like sometimes it's funny to do like the In a World thing and do a direct parody of trailers. But in this, it's like not the parody of the trailer. It's just what this is. It's Aston Kramer's.
But I want to know, what did they use to throw on the table?
I had this queued up because I knew, because she laughed the hardest.
Oh, it's so funny. The second time, very effective still.
This is the first time, and I think it's even louder and, quote, heavier. Yeah. Okay, so here we go.
You think.
It bounces.
And like the second time, she says, like,
so...
you're eating so much, you're going to get full. And I guess that kind of suggests, like, maybe he's unzipping his pants because his pants are too tight. But it doesn't say that explicitly. It's just like any conversation, this guy takes his pants off. Yeah. And I think that's very funny.
That's the go-to.
I also like you can tell that when it hits, it doesn't hit and then fall. It just all hits. It goes horizontal immediately.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Like a big slab of bologna.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Dean could tell us how that was recreated, but it sounds like he's just throwing luggage on a table. Yeah.
Gosh, the Foley work that Dean Metcalf has put into silly, silly show.
The absolute best. Yeah. I loved it.
Just crinkling straws to like imitate an engine or whatever it is. I don't know. I got
the best one, Jesse. You know what this one is? When someone came in and someone so enters the room, and it's literally Dean with his mouth making a noise for a creaky door.
My go-to bit for Dean low production high comedy is a shirtless girl. Shirtless girl is so.
I thought that was Bob.
Probably Bob.
It might be Bob, but he does all the sound effects that. And I didn't even mean to say that, like the mapping of like the boob sound over the car sound.
Right.
Just the really just you saying it is so silly.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
Because he could have, you know. It's not Google at that point. It's a different thing. But he could have found like a sound archive that had a door opening.
Oh, yeah, we had tons of stuff. Yeah,
he could have done that, but it's funny just to go. It's the same thing as not doing the In a World voice. Yeah. You do a different approach, and it's very effective for me.
So great. So great.
We got a few more of these, or a couple more, rather. Well, this one involves the spelling bee and booze, so I'm in.
Following the huge success of the dramatic story of the Great American Spelling Contest, Aquila and the Bee, Bob and Tom Productions is proud to present a movie that will touch your heart.
Well, dipsy, dipsy, doo-doo. Uh-oh. Wonder what he wants.
Good evening, sir.
Hello, Ossifer.
It's a movie about the power of determination.
Do you know why I pulled you over this evening?
No. Don't you know?
Sir, please step out of the car. It would appear that you're highly inebriated. I want you to try and say the alphabet.
No problem, Chief. A, B, C, D, E, G, F, H, G. No, hold on. I forgot the Q, didn't I? Is there a Q in margarita? Can I have a different question, Alex?
Okay. What's your name, sir?
Phil Mondor.
All right, Mr. Mondor. I'm writing you a ticket. Now, Mondor, can you please spell that?
I don't know, Barney. Can you use it in a sentence for me?
Oh, okay. How about this one? Phil Mondor's going to jail.
Hey, chill out, G-Man. I spell it for you. It's easy. Phil Mondor. P-H-L-I-D. No, hang on a minute.
It's Tequila and the Bee.
All right, Mr. Mondor, you have the right to remain silent.
Whoa, wait a minute. Why am I going to jail?
Look, I'll spell it out for you. D-U-I.
Guess I'm S-O-L?
Yeah, it looks like you better pick up some K-Y.
Movie critic Siskel and Roper give it two fingers touching your nose. Rex Reed calls Tequila and the Bee the Feeling No Pain movie of the year. Don't miss Tequila and the Bee, only from Bob and Tom Productions.
Tequila and the Bee. I was writing down, I was taking notes. I thought it was going to be Aquila and the DUI.
Okay.
I was wrong. Did you guys see Aquila and the Bee? It was a big deal at my school because there was a kid from my school that was in that movie.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
This guy, George Hornado. Mm-hmm. Who I don't know what he does now, but he went to the Scripps Spelling Bee and he got like second place or something.
Oh, wow.
And then I don't know if it was like part of the award or if it just kind of happened at the same time, but yeah, he got cast in that movie and he's the guy. There's a scene where they're playing basketball and then Aquila's like, I'm just here to have fun. And then he dribbles the basketball twice and goes, spelling bees are serious. You might have to believe that. But I remember, like, that was like, I was in middle school when that happened, and like we were like saying it in school, and we were like, but George got to say it in the movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really, really weird.
It took a minute and a half to get to the name of that.
Oh, yeah?
That's how long they drug that out. That was so funny.
Well, you have to wait. You can't reveal it initially because it's just a rhyme joke. It's right there. Yeah. It's just tequila and the bee. That is very, like, you saw what the movie was called, and it's one of the first things that pops in your head. I don't know. Super funny.
I never even heard of the movie before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's great. It's Kiki Palmer, I think, and she's like a little girl, and she goes to the spelling bee.
Lawrence Fishburne,
yeah.
Yeah, and I probably only remember it because of this bit.
Mm.
Which was not on an album, by the way. So you probably...
Oh, wow.
I bet this hasn't been played in 15 years, I'm guessing.
It's you know, you hear about the movie once a year when they do this Scripps spelling bee.
Yeah.
Wasn't there some controversy with that last year?
So wasn't it...
They ran out of words a couple years ago. Yeah, I remember that.
I remember that, too.
Which, like, that's the one thing you need is the words.
Yeah, how do you run out of them?
Yeah, also get a dictionary.
It's like my friend Matt, who said he went to Kentucky Fried Chicken, and they did what?
They ran out of chicken.
Wild.
Wild.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know my Colts story?
No.
In the spelling bee, it was when the Colts were going to the playoffs 2 years before they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It was Colts Day. We had a spelling bee. Everyone was wearing their Colts jerseys. In the spelling bee, I got the word Colt. A kid yelled out, "It's on your shirt, stupid." And I spelled out C-O-L-T. And they were like, "Wrong. You should have asked for origin. We were looking for Colts, like drink the Kool-Aid Colt." And I'm to this day, I'm furious about it.
Oh, C-U-L-T.
I'm furious that they included that word in there.
Yeah.
That they did it on Colts Day. The kid that heckled.
They knew what they were doing.
It's on your shirt, idiot. Oh, my. I'm so very bitter.
You listen to the crowd?
Yes.
Dang.
I'm very, very bitter about it.
So my spelling bee, I hate spelling. Hate it. We had it in elementary school. Every Friday, you got to stand up there. My teacher said February.
Ooh.
I spelled it F, you know, capital F-E-B-U-A-R-Y. She's like, incorrect. It is, you know, obviously it's R-U. And I'm like, yeah, but you pronounced it February. She goes, well, that's how it's pronounced, but it's not how it's spelled. Oh, you better see the Allsmans go to work when I get home. I'm like, Dad, can you believe this? He goes, that's incorrect. It's pronounced February. We're getting the dictionary out and looking at it. I'm like, should have been my trophy.
Does she also say library?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I also appreciate that teacher taught us the longest word in the English language, which is like, I'm going to mess it up. It's pneumono ultra microscopic silicone vulcaniosis or something like that.
Spell it.
P-N, and that's all I got. But they said on The Simpsons once, I was so excited. I was like, I know that word. It's when Abe and Homer are making the tonic. But anyway.
So you knew the word before The Simpsons bit?
I don't know if it just... happened after or not. I have to look at the years, but once I rewatched it, I was like, I know that word. I'm botching the end of it, you know what I mean? It basically means the flu.
Okay.
Right.
Sure.
Three letters. It's funny. It's funny stuff. But no, she mispronounced the word. What am I supposed to do? She said February. Yes, that's how we Hicks say it sometimes, but...
If you gave me five tries to write down February, Wednesday, February the 12th, without autocorrect, I could not do that.
Oh, man, 12th? You said that. It kind of made me twitch. I don't 12th? Know if I could spell 12.
Can you nail that on the first try? Is it a V or is it an F?
No, there's no V.
12?
12th or 12th? It's an F?
It's just a TH?
And then Wednesday, I know, is Wednesday.
Wednesday.
I don't know. Everyone that's my age is going to be in trouble for life because we had autocorrect. It's, I can't spell
here's the thing, though.
Anything.
They're not taking autocorrect away. So you're going to be fine.
That's what I'm saying. Why couldn't we use calculators then? Because they weren't going to just disappear. Mm.
How do you say that word? The word that you used to add things together?
Calculator.
You got a little, it was a little
calculator.
Yeah.
You say calculator.
Okay,
that's
cool.
Right.
I just wanted to check. It sounded like you said like calculator. Like.
Oh, like quick hardening cock?
Yes.
Calculator?
Yes.
All right.
I wasn't trying to do C-O, I was doing C-A-U.
Oh,
that's wonderful. That was the word in Wordle the other day. Okay, we're going to move on.
Oh, it was yesterday because I literally finally got it, and I was like, oh.
Are you into Wordle?
Yeah, I Wordle.
I'm so into it. Are you into this?
Did New York Times ruin it?
New York Times bought it.
They haven't made any ads or anything pop up yet.
I've heard they've started to ruin it.
It's hard. I mean, cock is pretty tough.
was hard, Willie.
Girls,
hard
is easy, right? Girls or what?
I had like faults, so I was like halfway there. I had all the middle ones, and then you don't think about that. I don't know. It was frustrating. They're very silly. It's very dumb. You got to do it every day.
I always change up my first word. I never use the same one.
I use the same one every time. I don't know what I use.
What?
Adieu. You get 4 out of 5 of the vowels in there.
Very smart.
Whichever one you get, you do process. So if you get the A, then the next one you do choral. You know, you figure out if that O's in there or not.
Huh.
Yeah. If you guys know what Wordle is, just Google it.
And you can put in bad words. I'm like, boner.
Nice. And it'll
dicks.
Accept it?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Well, some of them.
The guy that made it for his long-distance girlfriend, so I heard that sometimes it's supposed to be kind of horny. Like, I did one in the archive, and it was navel, which, like, that's definitely a horny word.
It's your belly button.
Yeah.
It's what an orange. Tied you to your... Yeah, that's true, too. It's what it connected you to your mother.
Yeah, but it's navel.
Oh, yeah. How sexy is it
Come
now?
On. That's not why I'm going there with it. Damn it, Jess. Why'd you have to make me...
I really wish I had Pat Godwin's I'm So Horny ready.
Oh, I'm so horny.
Oh, Willie's so horny.
All right, we got one more of these. I figured we got to give you a Cliff Notes Theater before we go.
The Bob and Tom Show now presents Cliff Notes Theater. Cliff Notes Theater, an abbreviated version of today's latest films for those with a busy lifestyle. Today's presentation,
Showgirls, a hot look behind the scenes of strip clubs, rated NC-17.
And now, Cliff Notes Theater.
Wow. Look at the size of them fangs.
Cliff Notes Theater. Because sometimes you just don't have time to sit through the whole thing.
Oh, that!
I feel like I've seen it now.
Yeah, sure.
You have.
You know what's funny? That's kind of like what Mr. Skin does. I know it's like a different bit, but it just kind of just takes you right to the boobies is what I was going to say. And mm-hmm. I ended up saying it, and I feel like a weirdo saying mm-hmm. it.
You can put boobs in Wordle.
You can put boobs in Wordle.
I love the callback.
You can put boobs. You can put dicks. You can put... Can you put dicks? I don't know.
Penis?
You can put penis. Penis and urine are also two good starter words.
Is this an app?
No, it's not an app. There's an app called Wordle. It's very confusing.
I have that app, though, too, because you can go back and play the old ones.
Oh.
You can get an app.
No, but the
it's
app-
not the same one that everyone else is...
But I think the app called Wordle does not have anything to do with the game called Wordle, I believe.
Au contraire, mon capitaine. I can't speak French. That was my Q impression. Back to Star Trek. It's just called Wordle. I think by now everyone figured out everyone was playing it, so they made it an app.
Here's the thing. I'm certain you're wrong. I'm looking. I have the app called Wordle right here. It's a different game. I'm not going to worry about it. It might be an iOS versus an Android thing. I don't want to get too into it.
Damn! It's Wordling.
Yeah. So
they got me.
No. Yeah.
They
I told
got
you.
Me.
I was certain you
it's
were wrong.
It's February all over again.
I didn't want to be a jerk about it.
No. Please
be a jerk.
I knew she was wrong too. Right?
Yeah, I mean, there's just nothing.
You shut your mouth, though, Jason.
There's nothing you can do.
Hold on, I'm looking up for the dirt. I took a screenshot of my dirty Wordle. I want to see what words I put in.
You can put though. There's a lot of fun ones you can put. You can put boobs. You can put dicks. We already got those ones.
Shaft.
You can put
boner.
Butts.
Shaft. Floor.
Yeah, exactly. You can get a lot of horny words in there. Floor's not that horny, depending.
No, that's
on.
How I won. I just figured it out in three.
Nice.
But the first one was boner, and the second one was shaft.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's floor.
I start with ado or urine, figure out the vowels, then go from there.
I know. And there's not an app called Wordle, so when you go to look it up, it's not.
No, there is an app called Wordle, but it's not affiliated with this. We just went over this, dude.
I tricked you.
We just went over this.
Did you hear what I said?
You said there's not an app called Wordle, and I already said there is.
But it's not affiliated with the Wordle that is from the UK. You go to like a UK website, right?
Yeah.
No, because the app isn't called Wordle. It's called Wordling. Remember when I just messed it?
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Well, for those that are listening and just rewound.
This is the worst ending to a podcast we've ever had. So that's
well, I was going to say oh. for.
I thought I was going to be light and funny, and then Jesus Christ, now everyone's so sad. Okay. So
I don't know what happened.
I feel like
wrong?
I feel like Cliff Notes Theater is perfect for Jess Hooker.
My sister dumped her boyfriend.
Okay, there we go. Now it's the best ending to a show we have ever had.
I try to be real. She didn't want to have any part of it. Mm-hmm. And then you get to hear what we were talking about before we came on.
Dumps can also be in Wordle, and that's relevant, and it's about poops.
And
so
you get
funny.
That U in there. Sometimes it's hard to get the U.
Poops can be about Wordle. Poops can be in Wordle.
Let's do all things about butts with Wordle, like bowel and urine. I guess that's pee-pee.
Dirt button.
Dirt. That's no, it's got to be five letters. I love how fast you were there.
Balloon, dirt button.
Balloon knot.
Yeah. Again, no, it's not getting the five letters thing.
Keep trying, Jess. I want to hear how many you got.
The Devil's Donut.
On the app called
Wordling?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the website is just Google Wordle.
There's a game called Wordle. Correct. There's an app called Wordle that's not affiliated with it.
Correct.
You use an app called Wordly that is like Wordle.
Yes, but I use the website too.
No, yeah, I was just getting everything straight.
If we talk about this long enough, my sister will be dumping her next boyfriend.
Yeah! That's great. All right, well, I say we call it there. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Like and subscribe. We'd really appreciate it. And go to my Instagram. See if I have any shows near you anytime soon. Take care.
Sorry,
William. No, it's nothing at all. We're okay. I just tried to get intense and be silly about it. I got nothing. You know what?
Come join TV's Ross Matthews every Thursday on his new podcast, Hello, Ross.
Hi, I'm Ross Matthews, and I am so excited to tell you about my brand new podcast, Hello, Ross.
You know, I just said that.
Yeah, I know. I was just saying it again to emphasize the name of my new podcast. It's Hello, Ross.
Look, you only have like 30 seconds to tell them about the new podcast, Hello, Ross. You have to tell them about the celebrity guests, the interesting people with cool stories to tell, and it's new every Thursday. Go ahead.
You never know who's going to pop by to say hello, Ross. It could be an Oscar winner, the star of your favorite show, even my dental hygienist.
Really?
No, she's fascinating.
Okay. Anyone else?
One time I was at a dinner party and the lady across from me, turns out she was a dominatrix. Ooh, that's gonna hurt. I've been a naughty boy.
Huh. Are you going to ask?
We're gonna go there.
For reals?
And there.
For real reals?
You better stretch.
I better stretch? What the
hell? On our show, nothing's off limits. I'm gonna ask that question.
No.
And that question.
No.
And I'm gonna get away with it.
Oh boy.
So it's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, right? Except think of it Mr. Matthews' Gaberhood. Oh, that sounds fun.
You know, that actually does sound fun.
And it's on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Wait, that's my line. Hello, Ross, available on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Okay, now you just repeated me.
We are so over our time limit.
Oh, that's a bummer.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.